be prayed for by one of the sons of our congregation. I love that. Well, as I'm setting up here, I want to let you all know that I will be gone next week because I will be right down the road at Easton Presbyterian Church, and I get to be part of the installation of their new pastor, Reverend David Abdo. Yes. Woo! So for those of you who know David, and you, if you'd like to congratulate him, send him a note or something, their home address is still the same as it ever was. And also, of course, you could send something to the Easton Church if you wanted to do that. That's another way you could go. I often say that the more I study the Word of God, the more layers I see. And some people compare that to an onion because, you know, it has layers and layers and you peel off one. But onions stink and they make you cry. And Psalm 19 says that the decrees of the Lord are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And God's word is layers and layers upon layers of richness and goodness. So instead of comparing it to an onion, I think of God's word as one of my all-time favorite desserts, baklava. Go with me here. Doesn't the side of that baklava look just like the pages of your Bible? Come on now, right? Whenever I get to looking at the layers of God's word or eating it by memorizing it, it is a delight. So I hope that you all have been happily nibbling away at Matthew 6, 5 through 15, along with some of the others of us. And what we're going to do in a moment here is we are either going to recite from memory or read, depending on where you're at in the process. And I just want to say that if you're feeling brave, feel free to try it without something in front of you. Just go for it. Because that's part of the way that you'll discover what parts you know and what parts you don't know. In addition to which, I will be reading. I get the easy job this morning. I'll be reading, and so you have a voice that will cover any mistakes that you make, so don't feel like you're on display there. So with that said, would you please stand, and let's read the word of the Lord together. This is Matthew 6, 5 through 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, our actual sermon text for today is just one verse. That's verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. And I was commenting to a friend, that's only six words. And then he asked me, does that mean you're going to memorize your text this week? You know, there's a whole lot of sass in this world. And sometimes we just don't need it. But let me say this one verse to you in a different way, suggested by Daryl Johnson. And I want to say that I've leaned heavily on his material in his book, 57 Words That Change the World. So you'll hear some things from him today. And so here we go. He says, here is a prayer that pleases my Father. Ask for all that is meant by bread. All that is meant by bread. This is a text about asking. So it's going to be a sermon about asking. What are we asking God for when we pray this way? Well, a lot. In fact, everything. Are we okay with that? Do we believe that God has the resources to provide all that is meant by bread every day, day in and day out? And do we believe that God will be faithful to make those resources available to us every single day until Jesus comes again in glory? When I ask that kind of question about believing, what I really mean is, how thoroughly has that belief migrated from my head down to my heart? And the reason I ask this is because I often find folks have trouble praying when they think they're asking God for something that is for themselves. And I am not advocating that we become more self-centered. But God's word clearly tells us to pray. Jesus said, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking. And we might recognize in ourselves our tendency to treat God like a cosmic version of Amazon Prime. I input the information, and with one click, payment has automatically been made, and I can expect delivery to the location of my choice in just a couple of days. Well, with that kind of pattern as a regular part of our lives, it is easy to get into the habit of thinking pretty much everything should come to us the same way. So, it's not a bad thing. In fact, it's probably a really good thing to be concerned about what we ask God for and how we ask God for things and what we expect from God when we ask. Now, on the one hand, God says, ask. On the other hand, we're keeping our own sinful actions in mind. So how do we find a way between these two realities? The Lord's Prayer keeps us praying on God's field, away from the sidelines and focused on the goal. It gives us both boundaries and tremendous freedom to move about within those boundaries. One of the beauties of the Lord's Prayer is that we ask for ourselves and others in the same breath. So that helps us move away from our fear about being self-centered as we ask God for all that is meant by bread. But this is Jesus, read God, telling us how to pray to our Father, His Father, and ours, in a way that is pleasing to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we can be sure that when we pray in this way, we are asking God for what He wants us to ask for and is ready to give out of His goodness and His holiness. Well, all that is meant by bread has multiple layers of meaning, all from God and all good, just like baklava. And no, I did not bring baklava for everybody today, so you just have to go find your own. The most obvious meaning of bread is literal, real physical bread, meaning food. There's an echo here from Proverbs, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. The Message translates verse 11, keep us alive with three square meals. Well, along with the idea of food, some have suggested that daily bread extends to everything we need to function in our daily lives. And Jesus has just said in verse 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Bread for the day, whether we think of food or all that we need to live, is a normal and sometimes anxious concern for us. Last year, the little orchard at our house made peaches and nectarines and everything else like crazy. We had tons of rain, you'll remember last spring, and very gentle temperatures. Comparing that to this year, we've had very little rain, we're right back in our drought cycle, and we've had some very hard freezes this spring. It looks like there will be no plums on our tree this year. And we might not have much other fruit either. It's a little early to tell that. But you know what? We're just home gardeners. So to have zero plums is a disappointment, but it really isn't that big a deal. I mean, it means I'll probably bake fewer plum pies or something like that. But for many people, the loss of a whole crop would mean a tremendous hardship. So this year, I want our small crop of fruit to remind me to pray for folks all over the world who depend on the weather and a good crop to thrive and in some cases even survive year after year. Lord, give them their daily bread. And this is where I need to remember that I'm still praying to our Father. Because we are preaching this phrase by phrase, we've been focused on God's name and kingdom and will. But our Father is never out of sight. And from this point in the prayer to the end of Jesus' prayer, the us's and the ours and the we are all over the place. So when we pray, give us our daily bread, we are praying for all of God's people everywhere to be provided with daily bread by our Father. Listen now to Johnson's challenge about our daily bread. He says, one of the scandals of our time is the huge disparity in basic life provisions in the body of Christ. Many disciples of Jesus have more than we can possibly use and worry about how to protect it. Many more disciples of Jesus wonder how to take care of the minimal needs of their families and yet ironically seek to share what little they have. A Latin American prayer puts it this way, O God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give the hunger for justice. To pray, give us, leads us into solidarity with the whole family of God. And as Jeremy pointed out last week, we are asking God to do what only God can do. All of the verbs in the Lord's Prayer are that passive imperative that he was talking about last week. God, give food to your people, just as you did for the Hebrew people as they wandered in the wilderness. There was manna, there were quail, enough for everyone to have enough and no one to have too much. God, you did it before. Please do it again. And make me part of the solution as I share with and pray for those whose needs are really dire. When we ask God for all that is meant by bread, we are asking for the daily resources we need to live the God's kingdom come life that we just prayed for. And that is demonstrated by the presence and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a statement of complete dependence on God's goodness and generosity. As James says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father, who does not change like shifting shadows. Well, what resources does it take us to live the kingdom life? As believers, we will come into conflict with the world, with our culture, with one another, and with ourselves. When that happens, we need courage, strength, patience, holiness, and vision to keep on living God's way day after day. We need the character of Jesus to be formed in us and among us. I'm so glad we already sang about that this morning. Just at the end of this chapter of Matthew, Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He's reiterating that from verse 8, actually. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I like what Luke adds just after that. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help and guide us along the way. How does the Holy Spirit give us what we need to live a kingdom life? Well, hundreds and probably thousands of books have been written on this topic. And I'm not going to go through them all today, mercifully. I'm just going to point out three things about the Holy Spirit this morning. First of all, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit comes to all who seek him through the Father. He said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Secondly, Jesus promised that wisdom for living God's way comes to us through the Holy Spirit. He said, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And third, the Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able to bear in us the fruit of the Spirit as marks of the character of believers who are being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. If I want to know how Christ is being formed in me, a great place to start is to ask the Holy Spirit and myself, and maybe some other people who I trust, is my life marked by these things? Am I growing in these characteristics? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And because all of those words that I just said might feel a little bit removed from daily bread, I want to share one way that the Holy Spirit showed up in my life this week. I was driving home on Wednesday and thinking and really just praying for all of you for today. We'd had a storm the day before, so the air was very clear, and I was just at the place where 168 passes over Herndon, so I was up high, and I'm heading east. And I could see the whole spectacular snow-covered Sierra laid out in front of me, and I just breathed out, "Thank you, Lord, that I get to see this. You are amazing. You are glorious." And then I became aware that the song, the refrain that was playing on my radio was this: "How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God." And I don't have to tell you what happened next. Serious waterworks, people. It is a good thing there was not much traffic on the road. And I stopped. I pull off on Fowler Avenue. I stopped to pick up dinner. I'm wiping my eyes, and I wore my sunglasses into the place so people wouldn't be freaked out by what's this woman weeping about. But you know what? That's exactly the kind of reminder that the Spirit is with us all the time. And it doesn't really say anything about me, and it says everything about who he is and how he is, that God wants to bless his people. Sometimes in great ways, yes, but often in quiet moments, it is as if he is saying to us, "I see you, I know you, I love you." And as I looked at those mountains, another layer of all that is meant by bread flashed into my mind. That might have been part of the reason for the tears. Thank you, God. The mountains are so majestic. You could have left mankind with just what nature reveals about you. You could have said, you know, really, that's enough. It is. You can figure out the rest, folks. But you didn't do that. You gave us your Son, Jesus, so that we could really know you through him. Father, how good you are. We are told to pray for all that is meant by bread. And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then we remember that Jesus took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to his disciples. Last week, we celebrated communion together right here. We were nourished in our souls because Jesus is the bread of life and he is present with us as we gather around his table. He gives us his very self so that we can have life sustained by the one and only Son of the Father in heaven. And finally, we can pray for bread for the coming day, for the final day when the kingdom of God comes in all of its fullness. Daryl Johnson prays this: "Father, give us today the bread we will enjoy in your fully realized kingdom. Give us today the delicious bread of peace, joy, and rest." Yes, we can ask for that kind of bread today. And because God tells us to ask for it, I believe he will give it to us. Can you think of a moment in your life when you actually have tasted that future bread? A moment when some bit of God's kingdom has broken into your present time and you've been given the strength and the courage to keep going. If you haven't thought about it, may I encourage you to set aside some time this week to stop and reflect on God's glorious future. It is even more glorious and majestic than the mountains that move me so much. Prayerfully imagine yourself as part of the heavenly scenes described in Scripture. And I'm suggesting this spiritual exercise because this world is so concrete to us and it seems so permanent to us, but it is passing away. And God has something so, so much better in mind. Corinthians tells us what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived. These are the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And so, my friends, I as a human mind, can't pretend to know exactly what that is, but I need to learn to treasure the truth of it in this life right now. To allow the Holy Spirit to just take me there where Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father praying for us. Listen to these beautiful words from Revelation, and there's quite a few here, so close your eyes if it helps you to imagine what John is describing. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and I might say every year. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name be on their foreheads. I'm crying because it's that beautiful, folks. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. I think most of the time that's just not very real to me. The more real those heavenly scenes are to us, the less hold this world will have on us. The more we will know that we are just passing through one time, and this world is not our home. It's the place where we now live and where our good Father faithfully provides for us all that is meant by bread so that we can live for him. And that includes bread that lets us peek into his throne room in heaven. And that, as the song says, is a foretaste of glory divine. And the more real those heavenly scenes are to us, the more likely it will be that we can bring a whiff of the fragrance of heaven to our earthly and daily lives and to people who have no idea what heaven's fragrance is. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our meals, our homes and clothes and shoes. Give us today our daily work, our families, our education, our friends, our farms, our businesses. Give us today the necessities to help us live in a way that honors you, Lord, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. The knowledge that you are with us always, that you see us, that you know our fears and our failings, and that your love is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit without limit. Give us today the bread of life that we may live and never die. And give us today what it means to live well on earth with a heart that is already halfway in heaven. Please pray with me. Our Lord God, for all of these todays, our Father, we are grateful. You are our Savior, our Creator, our Provider, our hope, our joy, our future, our wisdom, our Redeemer, our Advocate, our Judge, our Priest, our King. And can it be that you call us friends? We come to you with nothing. You richly give us all we need for our enjoyment. And we can only gratefully place all that we are and have into your loving hands and ask you, make us more and more like Jesus. Our Father, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.